and scared, dressed in mismatched clothes and clutching a child's dirty blanket.
Fuck.
This is you, I whisper, my heart lurching into my throat. I know Christian was 4 when his mother died, but this child looks much younger. He must have been severely malnourished. I stifle a sob as tears spring to my eyes.
Oh, my sweet 50.
Christian nods.
That's me.
Welch brought these photos?
Yes. I don't remember any of this.
His voice is flat and lifeless. Remember being with foster parents? Why should you? Christian, it was a long time ago. Is this what's worrying you?
I remember other things, from before and after, when I met my mom and dad, but this, it's like there's a huge chasm.
My heart twists and understanding dawns. My darling control freak likes everything in its place, and now he's learned he's missing part of the jigsaw. Is Jack in this picture?
Yes, he's the older kid.
Christian's eyes are still screwed shut, and he's clinging to me as if I'm a life raft. I run my fingers through his hair while I gaze at the older boy, who is glaring, defiant, and arrogant at the camera. I can see it's Jack, but he's just a kid, a sad 8 or 9-year-old hiding his fear behind his hostility. A thought occurs to me. When Jack called to tell me he had Mia, he said if things had been different, it could have been him. Christian closes his eyes and shudders.
That fucker.
You think he did all this because the Greys adopted you instead of him?
Who knows?
Christian's tone is bitter.
I don't give a fuck about him.
Perhaps he knew we were seeing each other when I went for that job interview. Perhaps he planned to seduce me all along. Bile rises in my throat.
I don't think so.
Christian mutters, his eyes now open.
The searches he did on my family didn't start until a week or so after you began your job at SIP. Barney knows the exact dates. And Anna, he fucked all his assistants and taped them.
Christian closes his eyes and tightens his grip on me once more. Suppressing the tremor that runs through me, I try to recall my various conversations with Jack when I first started at SIP. I knew deep down he was bad news, yet I ignored all my instincts. Christian's right. I have no regard for my own safety. I remember the fight we had about me going to New York with Jack. Jeez, I could have ended up on some sordid sex tape. The thought is nauseating. And in that moment, I recall the photographs Christian kept of his submissives. Oh, shit. We're cut from the same cloth. No, Christian, you're not. You're nothing like him. He's still curled around me like a small boy. Christian, I think you should talk to your mom and dad. I am reluctant to move him, so I shift and slide back into the bed until we are eye to eye. A bewildered gray gaze meets mine, reminding me of the child in the photograph. Let me call them, I whisper. He shakes his head. Please. I beg. Christian stares at me, pain and self-doubt reflected in his eyes as he considers my request. Oh, Christian, please.
I'll call them,
he whispers. Good. We can go see them together, or you can go, whichever you prefer.
No. They can come here.
Why?
I don't want you going anywhere.
Christian, I'm up for a car journey.
No.
His voice is firm, but he gives me an ironic smile.
Anyway, it's Saturday night. They're probably at some function.
Call them. This news has obviously upset you. They might be able to shed some light. I glance at the radio alarm. It's almost 7 in the evening. He regards me impassively for a moment.
Okay,
he says, as if I've issued him a challenge. Sitting up, he picks up the bedside phone. I wrap my arm around him and rest my head on his chest as he makes the call.
Dad?
I register his surprise that Carrick has answered the phone.
Anna's good. We're home. Welch has just left. He found out the connection. The foster home in Detroit. I don't remember any of that.
Christian's voice is almost inaudible as he mutters the last sentence. My heart constricts once more. I hug him, and he squeezes my shoulder.
Yeah. You will? Great.
He hangs up.
They're on their way.
He sounds surprised, and I realize that he's probably never asked them for help. Good. I should get dressed. Christian's arm tightens around me.
Don't go.
Okay. I snuggle into his side again, stunned by the fact that he's just told me a great deal about himself, entirely voluntarily. As we stand at the threshold of the great room, Grace wraps me gently in her arms.
Anna, Anna, darling Anna, she whispers, saving two of my children. How can I ever thank you?
I blush, touched and embarrassed in equal measure by her words. Carrick hugs me too, kissing my forehead. Then Mia grabs me, squashing my ribs. I wince and gasp, but she doesn't notice.
Thank you for saving me from those assholes.
Christian scowls at her.
Mia, careful. She's in pain.
Oh, sorry.
I'm good, I mutter, relieved when she releases me. She looks fine, impeccably dressed in tight black jeans and a pale pink frilly blouse. I'm glad I'm wearing my comfortable wrap dress and flats. At least I look reasonably presentable. Racing over to Christian, Mia curls her arm around his waist. Wordlessly, he hands Grace the photo. She gasps, her hand flying to her mouth to contain her emotion, as she instantly recognizes Christian. Carrick wraps his arm around her shoulders as he, too, examines it.
Oh, darling!
Grace caresses Christian's cheek. Taylor appears.
Mr. Gray, Miss Kavanaugh, her brother, and your brother are coming up, sir.
Christian frowns.
Thank you, Taylor,
he mutters, bemused.
I called Elliot and told him we were coming over,
Mia grins.
It's a welcome home party.
I sneak a sympathetic glance at my poor husband as both Grace and Carrick glare at Mia in exasperation.
We'd better get some food together, I declare. Mia, will you give me a hand? Oh, I'd love to.
I usher her toward the kitchen area as Christian leads his parents into his study. Kate is apoplectic with righteous indignation that's aimed at me and Christian, but most of all, Jack and Elizabeth.
What were you thinking, Anna?
She shouts as she confronts me in the kitchen, causing all eyes in the room to turn and stare.
Kate, please, I've had the same lecture from everyone,
I snap back. She glares at me, and for 1 minute I think I'm going to be subjected to a Catherine Kavanaugh How Not to Succumb to Kidnappers lecture, but instead, she folds me in her arms.
Jeez, sometimes you don't have the brains you were born with, Steele,
she whispers. As she kisses my cheek, there are tears in her eyes.
Kate, I've been so worried about you.
Don't cry, you'll set me off. She stands back and wipes her eyes, embarrassed, then takes a deep breath and composes herself.
On a more positive note, we've set a date for our wedding. We thought next May, and, of course, I want you to be my matron of honor.
Oh, Kate! Wow! Congratulations!
Crap! Little blip! Junior!
What is it? She asks, misinterpreting my alarm. I'm just so happy for you. Some good news for a change. I wrap my arms around her and pull her into a hug.
Shit, shit, shit. When is blip due?
Mentally, I calculate my due date. Dr. Green said I was 4 or 5 weeks, so sometime in May?
Shit.
Elliot hands me a glass of champagne.
Oh, shit.
Christian emerges from his study, looking ashen, and follows his parents into the great room. His eyes widen when he sees the glass in my hand.
Kate?
He greets her coolly.
Christian?
She is equally cool. I sigh.
Your meds, Mrs. Gray.
He eyes the glass in my hand. I narrow my eyes. Damn it, I want a drink. Grace smiles as she joins me in the kitchen, collecting a glass from Elliot on the way.
A sip will be fine,
she whispers with a conspiratorial wink at me, and lifts her glass to clink mine. Christian scowls at both of us until Elliot distracts him with news of the latest match between the Mariners and the Rangers. Carrick joins us, putting his arms around us both, and Grace kisses his cheek before joining Mia on the sofa.
How is he?
I whisper to Carrick as he and I stand in the kitchen watching the family lounge on the sofa. I note with surprise that Mia and Ethan are holding hands.
Shaken,
Carrick murmurs to me, his brow furrowing, his face serious.
He remembers so much of his life with his birth mother. Many things I wish he didn't. But this...
He stops.
I hope we've helped. I'm glad he called us. He said you told him to.
Carrick's gaze softens. I shrug and take a hasty sip of champagne.
You're very good for him. He doesn't listen to anyone else.
I frown. I don't think that's true. The unwelcome specter of the bitch troll looms large in my mind. I know Christian talks to Grace, too. I heard him. Again, I feel a moment's frustration as I try to fathom their conversation in the hospital, but it still eludes me.
Come and sit down, Anna. You look tired. I'm sure you weren't expecting all of us here this evening.
It's great to see everyone, I smile, because it's true. It is great. I'm an only child who has married into a large and gregarious family, and I love it. I snuggle up next to Christian.
One sip,
he hisses at me and takes my glass from my hand. Yes, sir. I bat my lashes, disarming him completely. He puts his arm around my shoulders and returns to his baseball conversation with Elliot and Ethan.
My parents think you walk on water,
Christian mutters as he drags off his t-shirt. I'm curled up in bed watching the floor show. Good thing you know differently, I snort.
Oh, I don't know.
He slips out of his jeans. Did they fill in the gaps for you?
Some. I lived with the Colliers for 2 months while Mom and Dad waited for the paperwork. They were already approved for adoption because of Elliot, but the wait's required by law to see if I had any living relatives who wanted to claim me.
How do you feel about that? I whisper. He frowns.
About having no living relatives? Fuck that. If they were anything like the crack whore...
He shakes his head in disgust.
Oh, Christian, you were a child, and you loved your mom.
He slides on his pajamas, climbs into bed, and gently pulls me into his arms.
It's coming back to me. I remember the food. Mrs. Collier could cook. And at least we know now why that fucker is so hung up on my family.
He runs his free hand through his hair.
Fuck!
He says, suddenly turning to gape at me.
What?
It makes sense now.
His eyes are full of recognition.
What?
Baby bird. Mrs. Collier used to call me baby bird.
I frown. That makes sense?
The note, he says, gazing at me. The ransom note that fucker left. It went something like, do you know who I am? Because I know who you are. Baby bird.
This makes no sense to me at all.
It's from a kid's book. Christ, the Colliers had it. It was called Are You My Mother?
Shit.
His eyes widen.
I loved that book.
Oh, I know that book. My heart lurches. 50.
Mrs. Collier used to read it to me.
I am at a loss as to what to say.
Christ! He knew! That fucker knew!
Will you tell the police?
Yes, I will. Christ knows what Clark will do with that information.
Christian shakes his head as if trying to clear his thoughts.
Anyway, thank you for this evening.
Whoa, gear change. For what?
Catering for my family at a moment's notice.
Don't thank me. Thank Mia and Mrs. Jones. She keeps the pantry well stocked. He shakes his head as if in exasperation. At me? Why?
How are you feeling, Mrs. Gray?
Good. How are you feeling?
I'm fine.
He frowns, not understanding my concern. Oh, in that case... I trail my fingers down his stomach to his oh-so-happy trail. He laughs and grabs my hand.
Oh, no. Don't get any ideas.
I pout, and he sighs.
Anna, 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 what am I going to do with you?
He kisses my hair. I have some ideas. I squirm beside him and wince as pain radiates through my upper body from my bruised ribs.
Baby, you've been through enough. Besides, I have a bedtime story for you.
Oh?
You wanted to know?
He trails off, closes his eyes, and swallows. All the hair on my body stands on end.
Shit.
He begins in a soft voice.
Picture this. An adolescent boy looking to earn some extra money so he can continue his secret drinking habit.
He shifts onto his side so that we're lying facing each other, and he's gazing into my eyes.
So, I was in the backyard at the Lincolns, clearing some rubble and trash from the extension Mr. Lincoln had just added to their place.
Holy fuck. He's talking. Chapter 25. I can barely breathe. Do I want to hear this? Christian closes his eyes and swallows. When he opens them again, they are bright, but diffident, full of disquieting memories.
It was a hot summer day. I was working hard.
He snorts and shakes his head, suddenly amused.
It was back-breaking work, shifting that rubble. I was on my own, and Mrs. Lincoln appeared out of nowhere and brought me some lemonade. We exchanged small talk, and I made some smart-ass remark, and she slapped me. She slapped me so hard.
Unconsciously, his hand moves to his face, and he caresses his cheek, his eyes clouding at the memory.
Holy shit. But then she kissed me, and when she finished, she slapped me again.
He blinks, seemingly still confounded even after all this time.
I'd never been kissed before, or hit like that.
Oh, she pounced. On a kid.
Do you want to hear this?
Christian asks.
Yes? No?
Only if you want to tell me. My voice is small as I lie facing him, my mind reeling.
I'm trying to give you some context.
I nod in what I hope is an encouraging manner. But I suspect I may look like a statue, frozen and wide-eyed with shock. He frowns, his eyes searching mine, trying to gauge my reaction. Then he turns onto his back and stares up at the ceiling.
Well, naturally, I was confused and angry and horny as hell. I mean, a hot older woman comes on to you like that.
He shakes his head as if he still can't believe it. Hot? I feel queasy.
She went back into the house, leaving me in the backyard. She acted as if nothing had happened. I was at a total loss. So I went back to work, loading the rubble into the dumpster. When I left that evening, she asked me to come back the next day. She didn't mention what had happened. So, the next day, I went back. I couldn't wait to see her again.
He whispers, as if it's a dark confession, because, frankly, it is.
She didn't touch me when she kissed me,
he murmurs, and turns his head to gaze at me.
You have to understand, My life was hell on earth. I was a walking hard-on, 15 years old, tall for my age, hormones raging. The girls at school...
He stops, but I've got the picture. A scared, lonely, but attractive adolescent. My heart twists.
I was angry. So fucking angry at everyone. At myself, my folks. I had no friends. My therapist at the time was a total asshole. My folks, they kept me on a tight leash. They didn't understand.
He stares back up at the ceiling and runs a hand through his hair. I itch to run my fingers through his hair, too, but I stay still.
I just couldn't bear anyone to touch me. I couldn't. Couldn't bear anyone near me. I used to fight. Fuck, did I fight. I got into some god-awful brawls. I was expelled from a couple of schools. But it was a way to let off steam. To tolerate some kind of physical contact.
He stops again.
Well, you get the idea. And when she kissed me, she only grabbed my face. She didn't touch me.
His voice is barely audible. She must have known. Perhaps Grace had told her. Oh, my poor 50. I have to fold my hands beneath my pillow and rest my head on it in order to resist the urge to hold him.
Well, the next day, I went back to the house, not knowing what to expect. And I'll spare you the gory details, but there was more of the same. And that's how our relationship started.
Oh, fuck, this is painful to hear. He shifts again onto his side so he's facing me.
And you know something, Anna? My world came into focus, sharp and clear. Everything. It was exactly what I needed. She was a breath of fresh air, making the decisions, taking all that shit away from me, letting me breathe.
Holy shit.
And even when it was over, my world stayed in focus because of her. And it stayed that way until I met you.
What the hell am I supposed to say to that? Tentatively, he smooths a stray lock of hair behind my ear.
You turned my world on its head.
He closes his eyes, and when he opens them again, they are raw.
My world was ordered, calm, and controlled. Then you came into my life with your smart mouth, your innocence, your beauty, and your quiet temerity. And everything before you was just dull, empty, mediocre. It was nothing.
Oh, my.
I fell in love,
he whispers. I stop breathing. He caresses my cheek. So did I murmur, with the little breath I have left. His eyes soften.
I know,
he mouths. You do?
Yes.
Hallelujah! I smile shyly at him. Finally, I whisper. He nods.
And it's put everything into perspective for me. When I was younger, Elena was the center of my world. There was nothing I wouldn't do for her, and she did a lot for me. She stopped my drinking, made me work hard at school. You know, she gave me a coping mechanism I hadn't had before, allowed me to experience things that I never thought I could.
Touch, I whisper. He nods.
After a fashion.
I frown, wondering what he means. He hesitates at my reaction. Tell me, I will him.
If you grow up with a wholly negative self-image, thinking you're some kind of reject, an unlovable savage. You think you deserve to be beaten.
Christian, you are none of those things. He pauses and runs his hand through his hair.
Anna, it's much easier to wear your pain on the outside.
Again, it's a confession. Oh.
She channeled my anger.
His mouth presses together in a bleak line.
Mostly inward. I realize that now. Dr. Flynn's been on and on about this for some time. It was only recently that I saw our relationship for what it was. You know, on my birthday.
I shudder as the unwelcome memory of Elena and Christian verbally eviscerating each other at Christian's birthday party surfaces unwelcome in my mind.
For her, that side of our relationship was about sex and control, and a lonely woman finding some kind of comfort with her boy toy.
But you like control, I whisper.
Yes, I do. I always will, Anna. It's who I am. I surrendered it for a brief while. Let someone make all my decisions for me. I couldn't do it myself. I wasn't in a fit state, but through my submission to her, I found myself and found the strength to take charge of my life, take control, and make my own decisions.
Become a dom?
Yes.
Your decision?
Yes.
Dropping out of Harvard?
My decision, and it was the best decision I ever made. Until I met you.
Me?
Yes.
His lips quirk up in a soft smile.
The best decision I ever made was marrying you.
Oh my. Not starting your company? He shakes his head. Not learning to fly? He shakes his head.
You,
he mouths. He caresses my cheek with his knuckles.
She knew,
he whispers. I frown. She knew what?
That I was head over heels in love with you. She encouraged me to go down to Georgia to see you, and I'm glad she did. She thought you'd freak out and leave, which you did.
I pale. I'd rather not think about that.
She thought I needed all the trappings of the lifestyle I enjoyed.
The dom? I whisper. He nods.
It enabled me to keep everyone at arm's length, gave me control, and kept me detached, or so I thought. I'm sure you've worked out why,
he adds softly. Your birth mom?
I didn't want to be hurt again, and then you left me.
His words are barely audible.
And I was a mess.
Oh, no.
I've avoided intimacy for so long. I don't know how to do this.
You're doing fine, I murmur. I trace his lips with my index finger. He purses them into a kiss. You're talking to me. Do you miss it? I whisper.
Miss it?
That lifestyle.
Yes, I do.
Oh.
But only insofar as I miss the control it brings, and, frankly, your stupid stunt.
He stops.
That saved my sister,
he whispers, his words full of relief, awe, and disbelief.
That's how I know.
No?
Really know that you love me.
I frown. You do?
Yes, because you risked so much. For me. For my family.
My frown deepens. He reaches over and traces his finger over the middle of my brow above my nose.
You have a V here when you frown,
he murmurs.
It's very soft to kiss. I can behave so badly, and yet you're still here.
Why are you surprised I'm still here? I told you I wasn't going to leave you.
Because of the way I behaved when you told me you were pregnant.
He runs his finger down my cheek.
You were right. I am an adolescent.
Oh, shit. I did say that. My subconscious glares at me. His doctor said that. Christian, I said some awful things. He puts his index finger over my lips.
Hush. I deserved to hear them. Besides, this is my bedtime story.
He rolls onto his back again.
When you told me you were pregnant,
he stops.
I'd thought it would just be you and me for a while. I'd considered children, but only in the abstract. I had this vague idea we'd have a child sometime in the future.
Just one? No, not an only child. Not like me. Perhaps now's not the best time to bring that up.
You are still so young, and I know you're quietly ambitious.
Ambitious? Me?
Well, you pulled the rug out from under me. Christ, was that unexpected. Never in a million years, when I asked you what was wrong, did I expect you to be pregnant.
He sighs.
I was so mad. Mad at you, mad at myself, mad at everyone. And it took me back. That feeling of nothing being in my control. I had to get out. I went to see Flynn, but he was at some school parents' evening.
Christian pauses and arches an eyebrow. Ironic, I whisper. Christian smirks in agreement.
So I walked and walked and walked, and I just found myself at the salon. Elena was leaving. She was surprised to see me, and, truth be told, I was surprised to find myself there. She could tell I was mad and asked me if I wanted a drink.
Oh, shit. We've cut to the chase. My heart doubles in speed. Do I really want to know this? My subconscious glares at me, a plucked eyebrow raised in warning.
We went to a quiet bar I know and had a bottle of wine. She apologized for the way she behaved the last time she saw us. She's hurt that my mom will have nothing to do with her anymore. It's narrowed her social circle, but she understands. We talked about the business, which is doing fine, in spite of the recession. I mentioned that you wanted kids.
I frown. I thought you let her know I was pregnant. He regards me, his face guileless.
No, I didn't.
Why didn't you tell me that? He shrugs.
I never got the chance.
Yes, you did.
I couldn't find you the next morning, Anna, and when I did, you were so mad at me.
Oh, yes. I was.
Anyway, at some point in the evening, about halfway through the second bottle, she leaned over to touch me, and I froze.
He whispers, throwing his arm over his eyes. My scalp tingles. What's this?
She saw that I recoiled from her. It shocked both of us.
His voice is low, too low. Christian, look at me. I tug at his arm and he lowers it, turning to gaze into my eyes. Shit. His face is pale, his eyes wide. What? I breathe. He frowns and swallows. Oh, what isn't he telling me? Do I want to know?
She made a pass at me.
He's shocked. I can tell. All the breath is sucked from my body. I feel winded, and I think my heart has stopped. That fucking bitch troll.
It was a moment, suspended in time. She saw my expression, and she realized how far she'd crossed the line. I said, no. I haven't thought of her like that for years. And besides,
he swallows,
I love you. I told her. I love my wife.
I gaze at him. I don't know what to say.
She backed right off, apologized again, made it seem like a joke. I mean, she said she's happy with Isaac and with the business, and she doesn't bear either of us any ill will. She said she missed my friendship, but she could see that my life was with you now. And how awkward that was, given what happened the last time we were all in the same room. I couldn't have agreed with her more. We said our goodbyes, our final goodbyes. I said I wouldn't see her again, and she went on her way.
I swallow, fear gripping my heart. Did you kiss?
No,
he snorts.
I couldn't bear to be that close to her.
Oh,
good. I was miserable. I wanted to come home to you, but I knew I'd behaved badly. I stayed and finished the bottle, then started on the bourbon. While I was drinking, I remembered your saying to me some time ago, if that was my son. And I got to thinking about Junior, and about how Elena and I started, and it made me feel uncomfortable. I'd never thought of it like that before.
A memory blossoms in my mind, a whispered conversation from when I was half-conscious, Christian's voice, but seeing her finally put it all in perspective for me, you know, with the child. For the first time, I felt what we did, it was wrong. He'd been speaking to Grace.
That's it?
Pretty much.
Oh.
Oh?
It's over?
Yes. It's been over since I laid eyes on you. I finally realized it that night, and so did she.
I'm sorry, I mutter. He frowns.
What for?
Being so angry the next day. He snorts.
Baby, I understand angry.
He pauses, then sighs.
You see, Anna, I want you to myself. I don't want to share you. What we have, I've never had before. I want to be the center of your universe, for a while, at least.
Oh, Christian. You are. That's not going to change. He gives me an indulgent, sad, resigned smile.
Anna,
he whispers,
that's just not true.
Tears prick my eyes.
How can it be?
He murmurs. Oh, no.
Shit. Don't cry, Anna. Please, don't cry.
He caresses my face. I'm sorry. My lower lip trembles, and he brushes his thumb over it, soothing me.
No, Anna, no. Don't be sorry. You'll have someone else to love as well. And you're right. That's how it should be.
Blip will love you too. You'll be the center of Blip's, Junior's world, I whisper. Children love their parents unconditionally, Christian. That's how they come into the world. Programmed to love. All babies. Even you. Think about that children's book you liked when you were small. You still wanted your mom. You loved her. He furrows his brow and withdraws his hand, fisting it against his chin.
No,
he whispers. Yes, you did. My tears flow freely now. Of course you did. It wasn't an option. That's why you were so hurt. He stares at me, his expression raw. That's why you're able to love me, I murmur. Forgive her. She had her own world of pain to deal with. She was a shitty mother, and you loved her. He gazes at me, saying nothing, eyes haunted by memories I can't begin to fathom. Oh, please don't stop talking. Eventually, he says,
I used to brush her hair. She was pretty.
One look at you and no one would doubt that.
She was a shitty mother.
His voice is barely audible. I nod and he closes his eyes.
I'm scared I'll be a shitty father.
I stroke his dear face. Oh, my 50-50-50. Christian, do you think for one minute I'd let you be a shitty father? He opens his eyes and gazes at me for what feels like an eternity. He smiles as relief slowly illuminates his face.
No, I don't think you would.
He caresses my face with the backs of his knuckles, gazing at me in wonder.
God, you're strong, Mrs. Gray. I love you so much.
He kisses my forehead.
I didn't know I could.
Oh, Christian, I whisper, trying to contain my emotions.
Now, that's the end of your bedtime story.
That's some bedtime story. He smiles wistfully, but I think he's relieved.
How's your head?
My head? Actually, it's about to explode with all you've told me.
Does it hurt?
No.
Good. I think you should sleep now.
Sleep? How can I sleep after all that?
Sleep, he says sternly. You need it.
I pout. I have one question.
Oh? What?
He eyes me warily. Why have you suddenly become all forthcoming, for want of a better word? He frowns. You're telling me all this when getting information out of you is normally a pretty harrowing and trying experience.
It is?
You know it is.
Why am I being forthcoming? I can't say. Seeing you practically dead on the cold concrete, maybe? The fact I'm going to be a father? I don't know. You said you wanted to know, and I don't want Elena to come between us. She can't. She's the past, and I've said that to you so many times.
If she hadn't made a pass at you, would you still be friends?
That's more than one question.
Sorry, you don't have to tell me. I flush. You've already volunteered more than I ever thought you would. His gaze softens.
No, I don't think so. But she's felt like unfinished business since my birthday. She stepped over the line, and I'm done. Please, believe me. I'm not going to see her again. You said she's a hard limit for you. That's a term I understand.
He says with quiet sincerity. Okay. I'm going to let this go now. My subconscious sags into her armchair. Finally. Good night, Christian. Thank you for the enlightening bedtime story. I lean over to kiss him, and our lips touch briefly, but he pulls back when I try to deepen the kiss.
Don't,
he whispers.
I am desperate to make love to you.
Then do.
No, you need to rest, and it's late. Go to sleep.
He switches off the bedside light, plunging us into darkness. I love you unconditionally, Christian, I murmur as I cuddle into his side.
I know,
he whispers, and I sense his shy smile. I wake with a start. Light is flooding the room, and Christian is not in bed. I glance at the clock and see it's 7:53. I take a deep breath and wince as my ribs smart, though not as badly as yesterday. I think I could go to work. Work? Yes, I want to go to work. It's Monday, and I spent all of yesterday lounging about in bed. Christian let me go out only briefly to see Ray. Honestly, he's still such a control freak. I smile fondly. My control freak. He's been attentive and loving and chatty and hands-off since I arrived home. I scowl. I am going to have to do something about this. My head doesn't hurt. The pain around my ribs has eased, though, admittedly, laughing has to be undertaken with caution. But I'm frustrated. I think this is the longest I've gone without sex since... well, since the first time. I think we've both recovered our equilibrium. Christian is much more relaxed. His long bedtime story seems to have laid some ghosts to rest. For him, and for me. We'll see. I shower quickly, and once I'm dry, I browse carefully through my clothes. I want something sexy. Something that might galvanize Christian into action. Who would have thought such an insatiable man could actually exercise so much self-control? I don't really want to dwell on how Christian learned such discipline over his body. We haven't spoken of the bitch troll once since his confession. I hope we never do. To me, she's dead and buried. I choose an almost indecently short black skirt and a white silk blouse with a frill.
I slide on thigh highs with lacy tops and my black Louboutin pumps. A little mascara and lip gloss for a natural look, and after a ferocious brushing, I leave my hair loose. Yes, this should do it. Christian is eating at the breakfast bar. His forkful of omelet stops midair when he sees me. He frowns.
Good morning, Mrs. Gray. Going somewhere?
Work. I smile sweetly.
I don't think so. Christian snorts with amused derision. Dr. Singh said a week off.
Christian, I am not spending the day lounging in bed on my own, so I may as well go to work. Good morning, Gail.
Mrs. Gray.
Mrs. Jones tries to hide a smile.
Would you like some breakfast?
Please.
Granola?
I'd prefer scrambled eggs with whole wheat toast. Mrs. Jones grins, and Christian registers his surprise.
Very good, Mrs. Gray,
Mrs. Jones says.
Anna, you are not going to work.
But
no, it's simple. Don't argue.
Christian is adamant. I glare at him, and only then do I notice that he's in the same pajama bottoms and t-shirt he was wearing last night.
Are you going to work?
I ask.
No.
Am I going crazy?
It is Monday, right?
He smiles.
Last time I looked.
I narrow my eyes.
Are you playing hooky?
I'm not leaving you here on your own to get into trouble. And Dr. Singh said it would be a week before you could go back to work, remember?
I slide onto a bar stool beside him and hoist my skirt up a little. Mrs. Jones places a cup of tea in front of me.
You look good,
Christian says. I cross my legs.
Very good, especially here.
He traces a finger over the bare flesh that shows above my thigh highs. My pulse quickens as his finger runs across my skin.
This skirt is very short,
he murmurs, vague disapproval in his voice as his eyes follow his finger.
Is it? I hadn't noticed.
Christian gazes at me, his mouth twisted in an amused yet exasperated smirk.
Really, Mrs. Gray?
I blush.
I'm not sure this look is suitable for the workplace,
he murmurs. Well, since I'm not going to work, that's a moot point.
Moot?
Moot, I mouth. Christian smirks again and resumes eating his omelet.
I have a better idea.
You do? He glances at me through long lashes, gray eyes darkening. I inhale sharply.
Oh my, about time.
We can go see how Elliot's getting on with the house.
What? Oh, tease.
I vaguely remember we were supposed to do that before Ray was injured.
I'd love to.
Good.
He grins.
Don't you have to work?
No. Roz is back from Taiwan. That all went well. Today, everything's fine.
I thought you were going to Taiwan.
He snorts again.
Anna, you were in the hospital.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. So today I'm spending some quality time with my wife.
He smacks his lips together as he takes a sip of coffee.
Quality time?
I can't disguise the hope in my voice. Mrs. Jones places my scrambled eggs in front of me, again failing to hide her smile.
Christian smirks. Quality time.
He nods. I am too hungry to flirt any more with my husband.
It's good to see you eat,
he murmurs. Rising, he leans over and kisses my hair.
I'm going to shower.
Can I come and scrub your back?
I mumble through a mouthful of toast and scrambled egg.
No. Eat.
Leaving the breakfast bar, he tugs his t-shirt over his head, treating me to the sight of his finely sculptured shoulders and naked back as he saunters out of the great room. I stop mid-chew. He's doing this on purpose.
Why?
Christian is relaxed on the drive north. We've just left Ray and Mr. Rodriguez watching soccer on the new flat-screen television that I suspect Christian has bought for Ray's hospital room. Christian has been laid back ever since, the talk. It's as if a weight has been lifted. Mrs. Robinson's shadow no longer looms so large over us. Maybe because I've decided to let it go, or because he has, I don't know. But I feel closer to him now than I ever have before. Perhaps because he's finally confided in me. I hope he continues to do so. And he's more accepting of the baby, too. He hasn't gone out and bought a crib yet, but I have high hopes. I gaze at him, drinking him in as he drives. He looks casual, cool, sexy with his tousled hair, Ray-Bans, pinstripe jacket, white linen shirt, and jeans. He glances at me and clasps my leg above the knee, his fingers stroking gently.
I'm glad you didn't change.
I did slip on a denim jacket and change to flats, but I'm still wearing the short skirt. His hand lingers above my knee. I put my hand on his. Are you going to continue to tease me?
Maybe.
Christian smiles. Why?
Because I can.
He grins, boyish as ever. Two can play that game, I whisper. His fingers move tantalizingly up my thigh.
Bring it on, Mrs. Gray.
His grin broadens. I pick up his hand and put it back on his knee. Well, you can keep your hands to yourself. He smirks.
As you wish, Mrs. Gray.
Damn it. This game is going to backfire on me. Christian turns into the driveway of our new house. He stops at the keypad and punches in a number, and the ornate white metal gates swing open. We roar up the tree-lined lane under leaves that are a blend of green, yellow, and burnished copper. The tall grass in the meadow is turning gold, but there are still a few yellow wildflowers dotted among the grass. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining, and the salty tang of the sound is mixed with the scent of the coming fall in the air. This is such a tranquil and beautiful place. And to think, we're going to make our home here. The lane curves around and our house comes into view. Several large trucks, sides emblazoned with gray construction, are parked out front. The house is decked in scaffolding and several workmen in hard hats are busy on the roof. Christian pulls up outside the portico and switches off the engine. I can sense his excitement.
Let's go find Elliot.
Is he here?
I hope so. I'm paying him enough.
I snort, and Christian grins as we get out of the car.
Yo! Bro!
Elliot shouts from somewhere. We both glance around.
Up here!
He's on the roof, waving down at us and beaming from ear to ear.
About time I saw you here. Stay where you are. I'll be right down.
I glance at Christian, who shrugs. A few minutes later, Elliot appears at the front door.
Hey, bro.
He shakes Christian's hand.
And how are you, little lady?
He picks me up and swings me around. Better, thanks. I giggle breathlessly, my ribs protesting. Christian frowns at him, but Elliot ignores him.
Let's head over to the site office. You'll need one of these.
He taps his hard hat. The house is a shell. The floors are covered in a hard, fibrous material that looks like burlap. Some of the original walls have disappeared and new ones have taken their place. Elliot leads us through, explaining what's happening, while men, and a few women, work everywhere around us. I'm relieved to see the stone staircase, with its intricate iron balustrade, is still in place and draped completely in white dust sheets. In the main living area, the back wall has been removed to make way for Gia's glass wall, and work is beginning on the terrace. In spite of the mess, the view is still stunning. The new work is sympathetic and in keeping with the old-world charm of the house. Gia's done well. Elliot patiently explains the processes and gives us a rough time frame for each. He is hoping we can be in by Christmas, although Christian thinks this is optimistic. Holy cow! Christmas overlooking the sound. I can't wait. A bubble of excitement blooms inside me. I have visions of us trimming an enormous tree while a copper-haired little boy looks on in wonder. Elliot finishes our tour in the kitchen.
I'll leave you two to roam. Be careful. This is a building site.
Sure.
Thanks, Elliot, Christian murmurs, taking my hand.
Happy?
He asks once Elliot has left us alone. I am gazing at this empty shell of a room and wondering where I will hang the pepper pictures that we bought in France. Very. I love it. You?
Ditto.
He grins. Good. I was thinking of the pepper pictures in here. Christian nods.
I want to put up Jose's portraits of you in this house. You need to decide where they should go.
I blush. Somewhere I won't see them often?
Don't be like that.
He scolds me, brushing his thumb across my bottom lip.
They're my favorite pictures. I love the one in my office.
I have no idea why, I murmur, and kiss the pad of his thumb.
Worse things to do than look at your beautiful smiling face all day. Hungry?
He asks. Hungry for what? I whisper. He smirks, his eyes darkening. Hope and desire unfurl in my veins.
Food, Mrs. Gray.
And he plants a swift kiss on my lips. I give him my faux pout and sigh. Yes, these days I'm always hungry.
The three of us can have a picnic.
Three of us? Is someone joining us? Christian cocks his head to one side.
In about 7 or 8 months.
Oh, blip. I grin goofily at him.
I thought you might like to eat al fresco.
In the meadow?
I ask.
He nods. Sure. I grin.
This will be a great place to raise a family.
He murmurs, gazing down at me. Family? More than one? Dare I mention this now? He spreads his fingers over my belly. Holy shit. I hold my breath and place my hand over his.
It's hard to believe,
he whispers, and for the first time I hear wonder in his voice. I know. Oh, here. I have evidence. A picture.
You do? Baby's first smile?
I pull out the ultrasound of Blip from my wallet. See? Christian examines it closely, staring for several seconds.
Oh, Blip. Yeah, I see.
He sounds distracted, awed. Your child, I whisper.
Our child,
he counters. First of many.
Many?
Christian's eyes widen with alarm. At least two.
Two?
He tests the word.
Can we just take this one child at a time?
I grin. Sure. We head back outside into the warm fall afternoon.
When are you going to tell your folks?
Christian asks. Soon, I murmur. I thought about telling Ray this morning, but Mr. Rodriguez was there. I shrug. Christian nods and opens the hood of the R8. Inside are a wicker picnic basket and the tartan blanket we bought in London.
Come,
he says, taking the basket and blanket in one hand and holding the other out to me. Together we walk into the meadow.
Sure, Ross. Go for it.
Christian hangs up. That's the third call he's taken during our picnic. He's kicked off his shoes and socks and is watching me, arms on his raised knees. His jacket lies discarded on top of mine, as we're warm in the sun. I lie beside him, stretched out on the picnic blanket, both of us surrounded by tall golden and green grass, far from the noise at the house and hidden from the prying eyes of the construction workers. We are in our own bucolic haven. He feeds me another strawberry, and I chew and suck it gratefully, gazing at his darkening eyes.
Tasty?
He whispers. Very.
Had enough?
Of strawberries, yes. His eyes glitter dangerously, and he grins.
Mrs. Jones packs a mighty fine picnic,
he says. That she does, I whisper. Shifting suddenly, he lies down so his head is resting on my belly. He closes his eyes and seems content. I tangle my fingers in his hair. He sighs heavily, then scowls and checks the number on the screen of his buzzing BlackBerry. He rolls his eyes and takes the call.
Welch,